Okay, Mishnah Dalet. A little bit of background about the calendar, the Jewish calendar, could be helpful. It's not critical, but it could be helpful. So just to give you a basic background, we know that the Jewish year, right, is based on the lunar month, the lunar year. So the lunar year is based on the moon making 12 revolutions around the earth, right? So it takes the moon around 29 days to make one revolution around the earth. If you multiply that by 12, you'll get around 354 days for a lunar year. Now, what about the solar year? The solar year is the amount of time it takes the earth to make one revolution around the sun. How much time is that? That's approximately 365 days. So the difference between a solar year and a lunar year is the difference between 365, the solar year, and 354, the lunar year, which means that there's an 11-day difference between the solar year and the lunar year. Why is that important? That's important because we know that there are certain yom tovim that are supposed to come out in specific seasons. For example, Pesach is supposed to be in the spring. What is so problematic about that? That's that because Pesach is, right, the 15th of Nisan. The 15th of Nisan is a lunar date, right? That's a lunar event. Spring is a solar event, right? The seasons are dependent on the solar year, right? Roughly every 90 days is a different season. So how do you make sure that the solar event of spring coincides with Pesach? Now, just do the math for a second, right? Let's assume that the Pesach comes out exactly in the springtime in the first year. Well, 1 year later, 354 days later, is going to be Pesach again, but that's going to be 11 days earlier, right, than whatever happened in the solar year last year, because the solar year is 365 days. So, Bez, and every now and then, Sanhedrin is going to have to sit down, and they're going to have to figure out if Pesach is going to come out in the spring, for example. And they have to make sure that Pesach comes out in the spring. So let's say, now when I talk about Sanhedrin, I guess it would be helpful to know also, right, there are three kinds of courts in Jewish law, right? There's the Bezin of 3, the Bezin of 20, of 23, and then there's the Sanhedrin of 71. Right, the Bezin of 3 is a small Bezin that handles very, I guess, simple, so to speak, issues, monetary issues, right? Dine Mamanis, Halvaos, etc. The Bezin of 23 is going to be a Bezin that handles capital punishment, right? A little bit more intense cases. And then the Bezin of 71, that's the Sanhedrin, Hagadol, they convened in the Beis HaMikdash, right? In the Lishkas HaGazis. And that Sanhedrin would handle pretty much things that affected the Klal Yisrael nationally, things that were of national importance. So one of the things that was of national importance was the calendar, right? Because that affects every member of Klal Yisrael every day of the year. And so that Sanhedrin would be the ones that would decide if a year would be the ones to make sure that Pesach, let's say, came out in the spring. Now, how does this play out? So before, now we have a set calendar because these things can be calculated mathematically. But in the times of Kiddush HaChodesh, they would be done on a year-to-year basis, where Bezin would sit down and they'd say, hey, look, it's Adar time and there's still snow all over the place. Is it really going to be spring by Pesach? And they'd have to say, you know, maybe we should add a month to this year. Maybe we should add a month to make a second Adar so that we make sure that Pesach comes out in the springtime. So the question becomes, what about if we're living in the times of Kiddush HaChodesh, where you'd have to actually go to Sanhedrin, there wasn't any calendar that was officially established mathematically. It was that you'd have to go to Sanhedrin, and everything was a year-to-year basis for adding a month to the year. So what would happen if we got to Adar? It wasn't a leap year. They didn't add a month to the year, and we observe Purim on the 14th day, and then a week or two later, Sanhedrin get together and they're like, you know, we're not sure that Pesach is going to come in the spring. Maybe we should add a month. Well, if they add a month, what month are they going to be adding? They're going to be making Adar Sheni. But if you make Adar Sheni, so where does that leave us in terms of the perm that you already observed a couple weeks ago? Do you have to do that all over again? Do you have to do Megillah again? How does that work? So that's what our Mishnah is about. The Mishnah says, Karos a Megillah ba'adar. If they read the Megillah ba'adar harishon in the first Adar, v'nis abra hashana, and then the year was nis aber. It was made into an Ibar yar. It was made into a leap year. So Sanhedrin added a month. They made Adar Sheni. Now what do we do? Karnasah ba'adar Sheni. You're going to have to read it again in Adar Sheni. Now the Mishnah says, Ein bein Adar harishon la'adar hasheni. There is no difference between Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni. Ella, Kriyas and Megillah, Matanos of Yonam only. The reading of Megillah and Matanos of Yonam. What does that mean? There's no difference between Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni only. That's the same thing as saying the only difference between Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni is with respect to Kriyas and Megillah and Matanos of Yonam. What does that mean? What that means is that those are the mitzvahs. Those mitzvahs apply specifically in Adar Sheni, not in Adar Rishon. And the Gemara explains, why do we want Mikra Megillah and Matanos of Yom specifically to be in Adar Sheni, not in Adar Rishon? That's because we want to have one Geula right next door to the other Geula. So we want the Geula of Purim to be right next door to the Geula of Pesach. And so that's going to happen if you observe, if you have Mikra Megillah, Matanos of Yom right next door in Adar Sheni, right next door to Pesach. What about Hesped and Tainis? What would be the halachas for those kinds of things? Right? Do we say that the Adar Rishon, let's say for the 14th and 15th of Adar Rishon, do we treat those at all like a holiday? And the answer is yes. Right? That on those days also, on the 14th and 15th of Adar Rishon, those days would also actually be usher to have hesped, to eulogize on, to observe as a tainus, because those do have some status as a yomtov. Okay. So just to summarize very briefly, what we said is there's something called a leap year in when it comes to the Jewish calendar. We're adding in a second Adar. The question is, what happens if you read the Megillah in Adar Rishon and then Sanhedrin decided that they had to make it a leap year? They had to add a second Adar to the calendar. What do? Do you have to read the Megillah again? The answer is yes, you do have to read the Megillah a second time. Are there any differences between Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni? So we said, yeah, the major differences are with respect to Mikra Megillah and Matanos Avyonim. Those are things that you're supposed to do specifically in Adar Sheni, not in Adar Rishon. But in Adar Rishon, though, you should know that there are certain things that do apply that we treat it somewhat like a holiday, in that it's Usher in Hesped, it's Usher in Tainus. Okay.